Ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
I love Fridays. Don't you love Fridays? Paul loves Fridays. It's a great day. And we are thankful that you've tuned into the Refresh Radio program here on this Friday, November the 19th, 2021. We pray that you are having a great day and you are ready to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray that you will be strategic and intentional. I pray that you would make God a priority and worshiping with the saints a priority this week. And I know some of you may be beginning your Thanksgiving traveling plans. And if that's the case, I pray that you would be safe on the road. If you are interested in coming to Merritt Assembly of God this week, we would love to have you. 165 North Grove Street is our address. After the 10:30 service, we will be having a Thanksgiving fellowship dinner. And last year, we tried to do that in a to-go format and actually had a gravy incident as a result of that. So we're looking forward to breaking bread together, and that'll be on Sunday, November the 21st, after our 10:30 service, probably around 12:15 or 12:30 is what time we eat. So, but I'll tell you, I have learned how to serve Jesus better because of many of the saints. I've learned to preach better because of the saints at Merritt Assembly of God, and I've learned to eat better because of some of the saints at Merritt Assembly of God. And so we always look forward to this week of meals. I want to tell you today about Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. Bill has been serving Central Brevard County with some of the air conditioning needs for a long, long time now. He's been in Florida longer than I've been in Florida. He's got decades of experience with systems from every size that you can imagine. The most impressive thing that he has ever done is he diagnosed an air conditioning problem I was having at my house from his phone. There have been a couple of phone calls that we've had. One of them, he told me what I could do to solve the problem right then, and it wasn't one of those things of like cleaning the drain lines. That wasn't that. It was something else. And it worked. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. He, on the phone, was able to help me to solve my... The other one, he said, okay, this is what that problem sounds like. I'll be over there in the morning. He was in, diagnosed, remedied the problem, and was gone on his way within about 15 minutes. He is wonderful. If you're in Central Brevard County and you need an air conditioning repairman, 321-759-3284 is the number to call. Maybe you just want to get yours ready for the for spring and summer of next year. I know we've had some cooler temperatures, and I want you to know my response to that is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And if you got heater problems, he knows how to deal with those too. But the season of needing heat around our house is very minimal. So praise the Lord. 321-759-3284. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. We're going to go back today to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 7. Going to read down to verse number 14. It says there, do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So David here writes in verse number 7, God, according to your mercy, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. And then it goes on to verse number 8, and it says, good and upright is Lord. So let me start off today as we are seeking truth, solid truth, eternal truth, spiritual truth. I want to ask you this. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? So there was a story I heard as a joke about three people, and they were discussing their funeral services, their memorial service. And they asked these three people, they said, well, what do you want people to say at your funeral? And the first person said, well, I want them to say that I was a good man. The second person said, I want them to say I was a good husband. The third person, they asked him, they said, well, what do you want people to say at your funeral? He said, I want them to say, look, he's alive. You know, what do you want people to say about you? How do you want to be remembered? Because if you have not made preparations for eternity, I need to bring you up to speed. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. There is going to be a segment of humanity. I don't know when. I don't know how large the segment will be, but there will come a time when the Father leans over to Jesus and says, Jesus, it's time to go get your bride. Of that day and that hour, no man knows, only the Father in heaven. And so when he leans over, Jesus isn't going to think twice about it. He is not going to hesitate. He will go and he will get his bride, and we'll be caught up together with those that the dead in Christ shall be caught up together with those that remain, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to be a great and glorious time. But until that time happens, there were only two other people who had never experienced death. One was Enoch. He walked with God and God took him. And the second, that's in the book of Genesis, and the second person was Elijah in 2 Kings. And Elijah and Elisha were walking along, and the chariots of fire came down from heaven and separated the two of them, knocked the mantle from Elijah's hand. It fell down, and Elisha picked it up, and Elijah was carried off into heaven. Apart from that, every other person dies. One of the teachers, I talked about teachers yesterday. I had a great teacher, and he took us to a passage in Genesis, and he said, what is the common denominator in all of these genealogies that are listed? And I'll give you the answer. He said, they all died. How do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered as an alcoholic? Do you want to be remembered as a drug addict? Do you want to be remembered as an absentee father? Do you want to be remembered as a workaholic? Do you want to be remembered as a celebrity? Do you want to be remembered as a politician? Do you want to be remembered as rich? Because all of those have no eternal merit whatsoever. See, there's one thing for people to remember you. It is an entirely different thing that David is talking about here, where he says, God, I want you to remember me. And I want you to remember me according to your mercy. To your mercy. See, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I want God to remember that he has dispensed mercy, his grace, his favor into my life. He has forgiven me. We've been reconciled, and my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want him to remember me. I'll also tell you this. I want the devil to remember me. See, there were seven sons of Sceva that had heard Paul teaching, and they went out and decided that they were going to cast out devils the same way that Paul had. And so they went out, and they encountered a demon-possessed man, And they said, well, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, you know, and they tried to cast him out. And the demon responded and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And he beat them and wounded them and sent them out humiliated, and the church grew as a result of it. And the interesting thing about that is the demons not only know who Jesus is, but they also know the people who are walking in the authority of Jesus' name. I want to be remembered for the things that I've done for God and the impact on the kingdom of God that I made that plundered the kingdom of darkness. God, remember me according to your mercy, for your goodness sake, oh God. I want to be remembered not because of the skill set that I had, but because the goodness of God was on display. Today I want to share with you a truth. It's a biblical truth. It's actually two truths that are found in verse number 8. And it says this, good and upright is the Lord. It's one portion of that verse. It's half of the verse. It is six words, but in that those six words are two powerful spiritual truths. It will cause you to thank God. It will cause you to be greatly appreciative of him. If you are not a believer, it will compel you to want to be a believer. And the first truth is this, God is good. You see, the devil, who is a liar, will try and convince you that God is bad, that God is holding out, that God is trying to deprive you of all of the joys of this life, when in actuality, it is the devil trying to do all of those things. It is the devil that is holding out truth, not just of the upfront cost, but of the lagging cost, the humiliation, the misery, the suffering, the heartache, and the eternal pain that comes from giving in to the temptations he brings your way. The devil is not good. He is evil. He is deceptive. He's harmful. He's a murderer. He's a thief. And he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Not so with God. God is good. And so I want to share this truth with you today, because if you get this foundational truth about the nature of God, it will disarm the efficiency of temptation in your life. It will disarm the lies of the devil in your life. When you realize that God is good, he is not just good by our standards, he is the standard of goodness. And so the mercy of God is poured out into our lives because God is good. A lot of people think that God is this angry tyrant who is looking to hammer the disobedient into an eternity without him. And I want you to know that that is not true. That is contrary to the goodness of God. Does that mean that there are not people that are going to experience an eternity without him? That does not mean that. God in his goodness is there, and he's saying, you've got a choice to make. I have set this choice before you. I could make this choice for you, but then you would be nothing but an automaton. You'd be nothing but more than a robot doing what you want. I'm looking for people who want to be in relationship with me, who realize the great need that they have for me in their life, and they appreciate the fact that I'm good. Let me just get into a little bit of relational dynamics for just a moment. A lot of times people are looking for spouses that are either handsome or beautiful, Let me tell you, just because they're handsome doesn't mean that they're good. Just because she might be a beautiful lady does not mean that she is a good person. She could be a contentious person. He may be handsome, but he might be abusive. I've known people that they've had spouses that were rich, but they were unfaithful. They were not nice people. They weren't good people. And so I want to share with you that God is good. The second thing that I want to share with you, and then we're going to go back to the God is good part here for just a moment, is that God is righteous. He is upright altogether. Okay? The Lord never misses the mark. Okay? We live in a society right now that for the past 20 to 30 years at the very least, that's just the longest that I have known it. We live in a political climate that I would call gotcha politics. Gotcha politics, where they are looking for any person whatsoever that says one thing and doesn't do it, has a slip up, has a moment that they did not meet the standard. And then everybody wants to point out to them that said, oops, you missed it. We got you. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for people who are upright. God is upright all the time. He is always, always doing the right thing. He's not doing the right thing part of the time. He's not doing the right thing when the cameras are on, but not doing the right thing when the cameras are off. And so thank God that he's upright. I'm so thankful that he's the standard. You've got to have a standard. If there was no standard, you know, right now there is a movement that is trying to rid standards from our society. I don't want that. I don't want to go to a store and the person says, well, that dollar that you've got, it's only worth 42 cents. I don't want that. When I go to the store, I want a dollar to be worth a dollar. Just call me silly like that. I want there to be a standard. And that means that God, when he's good and that he's righteous, that he's upright, that means that he is going to do the right thing all the time for all the people. Okay? So let's go back to this concept here just a moment, that God is good. I want to take you to the Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And, you know, I just share with you the things that God drops into my spirit as I'm praying and studying over these passages, and hopefully they cause you to think and cause you to recognize and understand the Bible better. And, you know, right now what I'm trying to do is really whet your appetite to where you are searching. You know, you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, involves seeking truth. So in Mark chapter 10, verse number 17, it says, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So, this person approaches Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus' response was, "Why do you call me good? Why do you call me good?" And that caused me to ask this question: why do we call ourselves good? You know, there are a lot of people that say, "Look, I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person." There are major religions in the world that their entrance into their concept of eternal life is the fact that they are 50.00000001% good, which means there's only like 0.02 of a degree difference between good and bad. So there's some good things about them, according to the world, and then there's some really not so good things about them. But on the fulcrum scale of life, the good slightly outweighed and said, "I'm a good person. I'm going." And I want you to know, God's not looking for good people in heaven. I'm gonna let that sink in for just a moment. God's not looking for good people. He's looking for redeemed people. He's looking for forgiven people. You see, God's not looking to create a society for eternity that is just as messed up as the world we live in here. He's looking for people who are his definition of good. So when I ask you, why do we call ourselves good? A lot of times, well, I haven't ever been arrested. I've never, you know, some people say I'm a good person. I've never done drugs. I've never done drugs. I was never an alcoholic. I was a good employee. I worked for this company for such and such a year. I was a good person. I paid my bills on time. I was a good person to my family. I treated my wife well. I treated my kids well. And I want you to understand that all of those things may be comparatively good to other people, but they do not measure the standard of how Jesus defined spiritual goodness. When he was called good, by the way, he did not deny that he was good. He just asked the person to identify why they were calling him good. And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." And Jesus is God the Son. But goodness comes from God. I have this unique visual perception in the eye. If you've listened for the over 8 years we've been on the air, you know that I had an eye issue in one of my eyes. And so every 6 months I go in, I get an eye exam to make sure that everything is still fine in there. And they say, how's your vision? And my description of my vision field in that one eye is always the same. In that eye, the word good becomes God. Literally, the left O and the right O come together to form one O. And that's God. God is the epitome. He is the standard. He is the definition of goodness. And so when we are looking at Psalm 25 and we're talking about this profound spiritual truth that God is good. By the way, I love this very frequently repeated phrase in the scriptures, specifically in the Old Testament, in the Psalms. It says, "The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever." I believe Phillips Craig and Dean sang a song that said, "You are good, you are good, and your mercy endures forever." I love that song. I'm so thankful that in this world where there is betrayal and backstabbing and, you know, trying to, you know, the survival of the fittest and lying and stealing and taking advantage of one another, that there is a real, genuine distinction when it comes to God, that God is good and there's no other source of goodness. I'll just point out, you know, we're getting ready to wrap up the program here today. And back in Mark chapter 10, when Jesus told him about the commandments of God, Jesus said, and he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, now I want you to understand this next part. It says this, loved him. Loved him. He didn't deny that he had kept all of those things. But in love for him, Jesus said to him, "One thing you lack." And for this man, his materialism, his attachment to things, was the one thing that was hindering him from laying hold of eternal life that God wanted him to have, and he wanted to have, but there was one thing that was holding him back. I want to ask you today, what is the one thing that if you were to ask a good God, maybe there's multiple things, but if God was to put his finger on one thing in your life today, what would it be? I want to encourage you, when the Holy Spirit says, "One thing you lack," or "This thing you lack," deal with it with joy, knowing that God is getting ready to remove that. He's going to remember you in mercy because he is a good and upright God, and he deserves our thanksgiving and praise. Whatever we give up, we'll gain even more. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend, and we'll see you back after Thanksgiving right here on the Refresh Radio.
Thank you
program.
For tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."